you would like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
We're grateful you're here this morning, and especially grateful for our visitors. It's wonderful to see people, to talk with people, to speak with people. We certainly want to be friendly in that way. And yet our main purpose for coming this morning is to worship God. Send up to Him our worship in a way that we trust will be pleasing unto Him. We continue this morning to think about Jesus, what He means to us, and what He means to the world. There was a young man whose grandfather had been extremely successful in every phase of life. Business, in the community, as a Christian. This young man, recognizing that, said to his grandfather one day, Grandfather, tell me in just a few words what you think has made you successful or what will make me successful. And the grandfather said, Son, three words. And then some. The young man was a bit confused and asked for an explanation. His grandfather said, Son, when you're in business, if you're selling somebody something and you're measuring it out, you measure it out to where it ought to be, and then some. And if you ever have an argument with someone and you know that it's your responsibility to go so far and it's his responsibility to meet you there, you go as far as you ought to go, and then some. And son, when you're married, and you think about your responsibilities to your wife and what you ought to do for her, you do everything that you believe you ought to do, and then some. And if you have children, you do everything you ought to do for them, and then some. And in the church, and serving God, you try to do everything that you believe God wants you to do, and then try to do just a little bit more. I believe, folks, there is a statement, a part of a statement included in what was read just a moment ago that says to us that that's the kind of philosophy of life that Jesus had. And the words that we're using for the text this morning from this text to be sort of a background and a foundation for our lesson really were not intended in this context to say that. But I think you'll see in a moment that though something else is being talked about here, when we look at the greater context, that that's exactly what the life of Christ says. The Bible says here in verse 39 of Matthew 26, He went a little farther. He went a little farther. Now in this particular case, this is talking about distance. It's talking about a few more steps or a few more feet into the Garden of Gethsemane. And usually in our English language, we use the word farther to talk about distance and the word further to talk about more than or in addition to. And yet in God's Word, they seemingly are used somewhat interchangeably. And even in looking at the definitions in the dictionary, I think we would have to admit that they are used somewhat interchangeably in our conversations. Something is farther or something is further. We may mean by that it's a mile farther or further down the road, or we may mean by that there is something in addition to, there is something added to what we're talking about. I suggest to you this morning that this statement, He went a little farther, tells us the lifestyle of Jesus and perhaps explains to us His philosophy toward life itself. He went a little farther. I believe it was a couple weeks ago, Brother David Light brought a lesson on imitating Jesus. And one of the verses he quoted in that lesson and dealt with for several minutes in it is 1 Peter 2:21 that says that Jesus suffered and did all these things that he might be an example. An example for us. When the writer of Acts, we think Luke, was referring back to a former treatise, he said, I've written of the things that Jesus began both to do and teach. I dare anybody to find anything that Jesus asked us to do that he hasn't done better. He went a little farther. I don't believe that you can take your life and find anything that Jesus has asked you to do, but that he set the example, at least in principle, and showed how it can be done, and even went a little farther, perhaps, than it is possible for you and me to go in some of these areas. I think Jesus understood what that grandfather was saying to his grandson. You do what's commanded, you do what is asked, you do what is expected, you do what you believe you ought to do, and then some. Jesus went a little farther. Let's look at his life for just a minute and notice some areas where this is true. In the context itself, here in Matthew 26, we see that Jesus went a little farther in concentrated worship, or concentration in worship. The Bible says he went on a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. And Luke's account in Luke 22 says that he prayed so hard that he had sweat drops as of blood. In our prayer a moment ago, John included a statement, I don't remember exactly the words, but a statement that had to do with helping us to really worship God. Help us to really think about what we're doing and really, really put ourselves into this worship. I understand the Bible will teach us that we need to do that. Worshiping not only in truth but also in spirit indicates that in John 4:24. And when someone is leading us in prayer, you and I ought to be dedicated in our prayer to God. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we ought to concentrate on what that means. We cannot show his death till he comes again unless we do. When someone is speaking from this pulpit, whoever it is, if it's God's message, we ought to listen. And listen carefully to what is being said and realize that that's God's message that is being brought to us. And perhaps take our Bibles and look and see exactly what's said in the Bible about whatever subject is being discussed. And Jesus set that example and went a little farther. He concentrated so hard and was dedicated so much in his prayer to God in the Garden of Gethsemane that the Bible says he had sweat drops as of blood. I'm told, medically speaking, that it is possible for a person's body to react to certain kinds of pressure to where there is blood that literally becomes a part of the sweat drops. And I don't know whether that's the occasion here or whether it's a figure of speech, but at least it says in what is a figure of speech that he had sweat drops as of blood. He prayed so hard that he broke out in a sweat to the extent that it says as of blood. As I think back in my life, I can remember some difficult times when I prayed harder than others, and perhaps you can too. There may have been times in your life when there was nothing else on your mind except praying to God because there was a difficult situation you were facing, and you realized more than normal how much you needed God, and perhaps you have prayed so hard that you broke out in a sweat. At least prayed so hard that you concentrated and you worshiped God. That's the kind of worship that God wants. That's the kind of worship Jesus taught. But when it came time for him to pray for God, he went a little farther. He left his apostles distance-wise and went a little farther, but perhaps concept-wise, he also went a little farther. In the second place, I see Jesus teaching this relative to being a friend. Even you younger folks realize how important a friend is. I don't know that there's anything more important, save Jesus and family, than friend or friends. Jesus talked about friendship a great deal with his apostles. He said, ye are my friends if, and I'm a friend to you, and so forth. And particularly in John 15:13, he said, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. He was suggesting that as Christian people and in our family relationships, there may be a sense in which you and I literally ought to be willing to lay down our lives for others. But I suggest to you this morning that Jesus went a little farther than that. Not only did he give his life for his friends, he gave his life for his enemies. His death on the cross was not just for friends, it was for the whole world. It was for every enemy that he'd ever had or would have. He died on the cross for them. Now that's a friend. And when you think about that, that song we sang a moment ago, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one," it begins to take on additional meaning, and we understand what it means to worship God in our singing. Jesus went a little farther in friendship. What may be a twin to this point is the fact that he also went a little farther in service. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about service. He taught that the master is to become the servant, and that unless a master is willing to even serve the followers, he's not really what he ought to be. Picture Jesus as recorded in the 13th chapter of John. Here he takes the towel and bends down to wash his apostles' feet. They couldn't understand it. Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet." He explained to him what he was doing. When he understood, he said, "Yes, go ahead, not only that, but the whole body." But you think about the Savior of the world taking a towel and stooping down to wash his apostles' feet as an idea of service. Particularly at that time, that was needed because of the way people traveled. And the washing of feet was done as a service and a token of friendship, somewhat like you and I might offer someone a cup of coffee or something to drink today. Jesus, the Son of God, stooping down to wash his apostles' feet. And when you think of that, that passage like Matthew 25 that talks about serving on one hand and not serving on the other begins to take on added meaning. When Jesus says, "I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink, naked and you clothed me, sick and in prison and you visited me," and you begin to see what he's talking about. And then when he says, "When you do this to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me," it takes on more meaning when you, in your mind's view, can see Jesus washing feet. He went a little farther. I believe he did in compassion. He teaches us to be compassionate. Sometimes we're not as compassionate as we ought to be, even toward each other. Again and again, he talks about how we ought to love one another within the body of Christ and even love people who are outside of Christ, and shows how we're to be compassionate even to the rankest of sinner. Though we don't condone what he's doing, we're compassionate to him. And though we do not want to promote him in wrong, we want to bring him to the right. Compassion. Think about the compassionate Lord as he visited Mary and Martha and then to the tomb of Lazarus, where the little verse says Jesus wept. And when I read Matthew 23:37, where Jesus looked out over the city of Jerusalem and said, I wish that you would come to me. It's like the mother hen trying to bring the little chickens. He said, I ask and you would not. I sort of read between the lines in that verse and see a tear in his eye. And when I read those last few verses of Matthew 9, where he looks out at the people who he says were sheep without a shepherd and was praying that there might be laborers sent into the harvest, I see a compassionate Savior, perhaps even shedding tears over those that were lost. Jesus went just a little farther in his compassion and showed even to those of us who are men who sometimes think that it's not manly to shed a tear, that even the Son of God himself could shed tears and share with people in difficult times and have compassion toward them to where there was no question on their part as to how compassionate he was. Jesus went a little farther. He went a little farther in forgiveness. He taught on forgiveness, and it seems to me that he must have thought this to be rather important, because not only did he put it in that little short prayer that he taught his apostles to pray, but it's the only thing that he mentioned in that prayer that he commented about. After he finished the prayer that he taught them to pray, he then talked about forgiveness and said, if you don't forgive one another, God won't forgive you. But if you do forgive one another, then God's willing to forgive you. And on other occasions, he talked about forgiveness and emphasizes to us how important it is for us to forgive. And you and I know by experience and reality that it's not always easy to forgive, especially when someone has wronged us and we didn't deserve it in any way whatsoever. Sometimes it's just a little bit hard to be as forgiving as we ought to be and as kind as we ought to be toward one another. Look at the Savior on the cross as he looked over at the thief. who perhaps deserved, I'm sure according to the facts, deserved to die on that cross, but whose heart was touched by what was happening to Jesus in such a way that Jesus, who at that time had the power to directly forgive sins, said to that thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And if you think that's something, listen to him as he looks down at the people below. Or maybe looks up at the Father and prays about those that were down below. And one of the statements that David will talk about tonight in the sayings from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think the closest to that than any man has ever come is perhaps Stephen. When Stephen was asking for the forgiveness of those who were stoning him to death. But you think about Jesus on the cross praying for those who drove the nails through his hand, pierced his side, and caused him to be put to death on the cross. The very people that are there on that occasion. That pronoun "them" is referring to those who were putting Jesus to death. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus went just a little farther. You and I have never had anything like that to forgive. And we will never have anything like that to forgive to that degree. No matter how difficult things may be, Jesus said, "Forgive." And he went a little farther in his forgiveness. He went a little farther in his sacrifice. Most of us here this morning have a hard time really knowing what sacrifice is. We've seen it in some areas. Perhaps we've experienced it to some degree, some of us more than others. But most of us don't really know what sacrifice is. Some that are parents know a little bit better about it and have a better concept of what it means in sacrificing for children. But Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice. He left heaven. Look what a sacrifice that was. He was with God. He was God, James 1. He was a part of the Godhead. He left that, willing to be sent by his Father to this earth. And according to Philippians 2, 6 through 9, counted it not something to hold on to, willing to give that up. You and I are using our entire lives serving God in order to go to heaven. And are thankful for what Christ has done to make it possible for us to go to heaven. Christ was in heaven and gave it up. He went a little farther. And then when he came to this earth, look at all the suffering that he did, and eventually the cross itself, and the shedding of his blood, as we've already said, for his enemies. Look at the sacrifice that he gave. Paul was talking about this idea to some extent in Romans 5, 8, and 9, and 7, 8, and 9. He said, perhaps, we would be willing to give our lives for a good man or a righteous man. And there are those of our relatives who've gone into the services and gone to other parts of the world and given their lives to keep our country free. Some who've given their lives to be able to preach the gospel. But no one has ever given like Christ did when he gave his life and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He went a little farther than he's ever asked us to go. He went a little farther in resisting temptation. It is said of him that he suffered, and yet, with all that he did it without sin. Hebrews 4:15, we have a high priest that can be touched with our infirmities, is the positive statement of what's said there. He goes ahead and says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He stood up to Satan, took the word of God and told Satan what the situation was to the extent that Satan left him for a season. He went a little farther in resisting temptation. And folks, Jesus went a little farther, or went a little further in obedience. He tells us to obey the form of doctrine, Romans 6, 17, through the words of Paul, that we ought to obey God rather than men, over in Acts 5. And even back in the words of Samuel in 1 Samuel 15, 22, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. But listen to what's said about Jesus in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He tells us to obey him, but he set the example before us. He tells us the importance of submitting ourselves to God in obedience, in becoming a Christian. Submitting ourselves into the act of being baptized for the remission of sins. and repenting and confessing our faults as Christians to receive forgiveness, he tells us how to obey, but he set the example himself, submitting himself to death, even the death of the cross, that he might completely obey his Father. And though he prayed so hard, if there's another way, let it be. Let this cup pass from me if it's possible, yet he was willing to submit himself to his Father and to obey his Father completely, even to that death on the cross. Yes, Jesus went a little farther in worship, friendship, service, compassion, forgiveness, sacrifice, overcoming temptation, obedience. Jesus went a little farther, and the fact that Jesus went a little farther means that you and I can go far enough. And it makes what we do far enough. You see, if Jesus had not died on that cross, it wouldn't make any difference what you and I do today. We'd still be lost. There's not a one of us here who can do enough to earn his salvation. We're to be obedient. We're to do the good works that are a part of Christianity. But we could never do enough of them to earn our salvation. We could never go far enough. We would find ourselves coming up short. Except that Jesus went a little farther and made the way so that what we do is far enough. When we encourage you to confess the name of Jesus Christ as a penitent believer and to be baptized for the remission of sins, we're asking you to be obedient to Christ, and the only thing that makes that important is what Jesus did. He went a little farther that you and I can go far enough. And when we encourage those who are erring Christians to come back in penitence and confession and prayer to God and submission to the will of God, that's possible only because of what Jesus did. The fact that he went a little farther, so that you and I could go far enough. The question is, have we gone far enough? Have we taken advantage of what Jesus did by going a little farther? Perhaps you need to come to him this morning to be baptized into Christ or to be restored. If you've not gone far enough, come to the one who went a little farther to make it possible for you, as together we stand and sing.
Things that are high.